TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. Enjoy more of the things you love with TCL. Get in the know. Non-stop Vikings talk. It's Purple Daily on Score North and scorenorth.com.
Job, he's making plays, creating separation, finishing plays. You know, it'd be an exciting challenge every week to try to find new opportunities to get him the
football. To be honest, it helps us. It helps our offense out to have me doing the things that I do, having Adam make plays and having Delvin run the ball. It's kind of hard to stop, you know, all three phases. And, you know, each week our offense is getting better and better, and we just got to keep moving forward and keep grinding.
You just heard from Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, back-to-back 100-yard games as he explodes out of the scene. Welcome into Purple Daily. Phil Mackey, Judd Zulgad, Declan Goff producing. And every Thursday, we do a deep dive into the Vikings opponent with a guest who knows that opponent much better than we do. And this week's guest from ESPN.com, Seahawks reporter, Brady Henderson. And Brady, A, thanks for coming on the show today. B, we're just looking at the Seahawks injury report. 26 guys on the injury report, including a couple wide receivers, the star wide receivers, for load management. So is this just Pete Carroll being wacky, or do they really have legitimately like 20-plus guys who are banged up right now?
No, that's the real deal, and it was actually 25 last week.
Wow.
And both of those numbers are more than I can ever remember seeing on a Wednesday injury report. They started the season really well, but like a lot of teams in the NFL, it got hit pretty hard by injuries. And the fortunate thing for them is that they came out of that game against Miami last week seemingly unscathed, but still a lot of guys that they're trying to either nurse injuries or trying to protect this week heading into that Sunday night game.
Who off this report do you expect not to play on Sunday? Who is going to make an impact by not being on the field for the Seahawks, Brady?
Yeah, well, they're not going to have Jamal Adams, the all-pro safety that they acquired in the massive trade this offseason. He's going to miss his second straight game with a groin injury. Jordan Brooks, their rookie first-round pick, is also going to miss his second straight game with a knee injury. And then we'll see about Quentin Dunbar, the cornerback that they acquired in a trade with Washington. He did not play the last two games. Yes, he also has a knee injury, but it sounds like he's going to have a chance. The word was that he was supposed to practice later in the week after kind of getting some rest earlier in the week. So we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, those are three of their top offseason acquisitions when you think about it, certainly on defense. So, their defense, I think, held up pretty well last week in Miami, even with a lot of missing guys there. But that was against Ryan Fitzpatrick, an offense that maybe doesn't have as many weapons as Minnesota does.
Yeah. Actually, on those weapons, we were doing some tail of the tape stuff yesterday. So the Seahawks have a couple great receivers, a really good running back. Vikings with Justin Jefferson emerging in his first month in the NFL. And Adam Thielen has been rock solid. And Dalvin Cook is leading the NFL in rushing. In your opinion, who has the better trio of skill position player weapons, Seattle or Minnesota?
And we're not including quarterback in this, right? We're just talking about...
We would love to make that swap and watch an actual mobile great quarterback.
No, we're not including quarterback.
Yeah. Okay, we're just talking about the skill guys that the quarterback has. You know, I'm going to have to plead a little bit of ignorance on that because I have not watched Jefferson play all that much. I know how great of a receiver Thielen is, and I know what Cook is doing, but I've not seen enough of Jefferson. I know this might be the best collection of weapons that Russell Wilson has ever had in his career. And really his top three receivers are the same guys from last season, talking about Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, and David Moore. But Metcalf is a year older. Remember, he was just a rookie last year and he threatened 1,000 yards. David Moore is still, a developing receiver. And I think he's taken a big leap, from year three to year four. And really, that group is going to get even better, or at least it'll have even more firepower when Philip Dorsett comes up IR, which sounds like it could happen after the bye. And then Josh Gordon is waiting to be reinstated from suspension. And you've got, Chris Carson, who, I think with Carson, he may not have the numbers that some other running backs have, but that's kind of a function of the way the Seahawks offense has really leaned more on Wilson than it has in recent seasons. And so you haven't seen Carson get as many carries. You have seen him involved in the passing game quite a bit, but you haven't seen him, produce those types of rushing numbers like somebody like Dalvin Cook has.
How bad is this defense?
It shouldn't be as bad as it's been. That's probably the best way I could describe it. You know, I think that they did settle down in that game against Miami last week, but over those first three games, it was really inexplicable, the passing yards that they were giving up. Now, part of that, I think you could attribute to the fact that the Seahawks, in those first three games, they jumped out to big leads, and so you saw teams really shift into catch-up mode, and so they were throwing the ball a lot. And the Seahawks were, you know, I think kind of playing on their, I don't want to say on their heels, but they were playing kind of in defensive mode where they knew that, you know, the biggest thing that was going to hurt them was a big passing play. So they were conceding a lot of underneath stuff, and that partly explains how, you know, opposing offenses racked up as many passing yards as they did. But at the same time, you also just saw some coverage busts. You saw some guys getting deep, and really no one expected that to happen to that defense, because when they traded for Jamal Adams after trading for Quentin Dunbar, you know, everyone thought that this could be the best secondary in the NFL, and maybe even, you know, leading to Boom 2.0, which it sounds almost silly to say now, just based on how much that group has given up through the year. But that said, they did settle down in that Miami game. Only one passing play of over 25 yards compared to 13 over the first 3 weeks, which was the most in the NFL in that span.
Man. Brady, Russell Wilson is at a really interesting point in his career, as I look at it here, in that he feels like an all-time talent to me. I think people are really quick to just say that Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL. I think Russell Wilson belongs in that conversation. And he's got the early 90s, mid 90s Steve Young to him, but he also has just a very new school, innovative flavor to his game. And yet he only has, I say only, the Vikings have never won a Super Bowl, but he only has the one Super Bowl. And he probably still has, you know, 6 years of good prime runway left here. So what is the feeling on where things stand just from a Seahawks and Russell Wilson legacy standpoint? Does the fan base feel like, man, we should probably have more than one Super Bowl here? Or how would you sort of encapsulate the feeling around an all-time talent like Russell Wilson right now?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think there is kind of a sense of unfulfillment when you look at what they've had, you know, over the Pete Carroll, John Schneider era, and they've had, not anymore, but they have had an all-time great defense, and they have had one of the best quarterbacks of his generation. So I think there is a sense of, yeah, you should have one more. Now, you know, I think that's also balanced by the fact that, you know, there hasn't been a ton of championships here. You know, I say that, and the Storm just won their fourth WNBA title the other night, but in terms of NBA, MLB, NFL, you know, it's really been the Sonics back in the 70s 1 year, and then the Seahawks in 2013. And so I think a lot of people, you know, that kind of disappointment is also balanced by the fact that, you know, the Seahawks won a Super Bowl, and the Seahawks hasn't seen an NFL, at least in the three major sports, have not seen a championship in a very long time. And so, but that sense of unfulfillment, that isn't, you know, a reflection of any disappointment in what Russell himself has done. I think it's more about just the fact that they haven't capitalized on having one of the best quarterbacks of his era. And you mentioned the Patrick Mahomes comparison, and I think that's an interesting point that you make there, because, you know, Mahomes, you got to factor in the fact that Mahomes is playing in an offense that really has always played to his strengths, and whereas the Seahawks are really only doing that now with Russell Wilson there. You've probably heard the hashtag, the saying about let Russ cook. And they're really doing that this year, and they have not done that as much in the past when their offense was really more going through their running game, I should say, more so than it is now. They're letting Russ throw early in games. They're not coming out with this desire to establish the run. They're really coming out and just letting Russ go, and then, you know, there's some missing in their runs, but they're throwing the ball as much as they ever have under Pete Carroll.
All right. Great stuff, Brady. We appreciate you coming on with us. Brady Henderson, ESPN.com's Seahawks reporter. And we're hoping for a shootout on Sunday. Give us like a 60-point over-under that we can go over on, and we'll be happy on Sunday night.
Oh, you know what? If I was in Vegas and you asked me to pick the over-under, I would probably pick 60. I'll say the over on 60 just because this is a Seahawks offense that can put up a lot of points, and their defense has shown that it can allow a lot of points too. So I'll set the over under at 60, and I'll take 61.
Nice. All right. Thanks, Brady.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right. Actually, let's keep it right here. Throw that. We're going to keep it right here, Declan. Throw that splash screen back off.
You got it.
Because I want to go a little bit deeper into this.
Oh, wait. Hold on a second. You're going to bury the lead?
What's the lead? Oh, I'm sorry. That I got a good question in there?
Yeah. Sorry, we ordinarily tell the guest that, so I think it's the very least.
Yeah,
that
well,
you can,
his phone was breaking
taken,
up.
Yeah, I know, but you've now taken a two good question lead. These things are clearly spurts. They're streaky. So now it's two consecutive days.
Streaky for you. I'm consistently asking great questions.
He's gotten two great questions. I just think we need to acknowledge it. Let's put it out there.
I now have 20 good questions or good points on the year. You have 18.
Yeah, we were tied at 18 going into yesterday.
Yep. Declan has one. And by the way, this applies to both Purple Daily and also Mackie and Judd and the family of Mackie and Judd shows.
Anyway, congratulations. You're up by two now.
Thank you. Yes.
After I worked very hard.
I asked a lot of great questions. Yes. So... the question I threw at him about Russell Wilson, and again, we have to have self-awareness following the Vikings here in this town and that they have never won a Super Bowl, right? So I get when you, like, I'm sure there's people listening or watching on our YouTube channel and you've got Packer fan friends or family members and like they can always just end the argument by saying, how many Super Bowls does your favorite team have, right? And the answer is always, okay.
They got Lombardi trophies, no question.
And I sort of like, when I look at the Seahawks and I look at the Packers, my retort is sort of, well, you've had Aaron Rodgers for 15 years, basically, 13 years as a starting quarterback, one of the great talents of all time, and you have one championship over that stretch? One in a division where the Lions are always garbage, the Bears never have an offense, and the Vikings are rotating quarterbacks out every 2.5 years, basically. And you have one Super Bowl championship with Aaron Rodgers. You had Brett Favre for 15 years. You have one Super Bowl championship. You guys should actually be more embarrassed about that than the Vikings, who are just like spinning through Ponder and Bridgewater gets hurt. And there's Matt Cassel and like, oh, we got a year of Favre, right?
But the Vikings could have traded for Favre in 92 or they passed on Rodgers twice and they've got Super Bowls and you don't have a Super Bowl. So I can throw that right back in your face. And by the way, you two guys are the biggest Packer fans on this show now the last 2 weeks or so, you know, they've had a,
they are the best team in the NFL right now.
And they have, they got those quarterbacks and won a couple championships.
But when you look at like the Seahawks, this is Russell Wilson's, let's see here. This is his ninth. I think this is his ninth year as a starting quarterback in Seattle.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yep.
He is ridiculous. Like, he's been an all-time talent for probably, I would say, like, of those 9 years, he's sort of been an all-time talent for, like, 5 or 6 of those years where he got out of game management mode in, like, year 3 or 4. And they only have one championship. And I get that if they would have just handed the ball to Marshawn Lynch, they'd have two, and this probably isn't a conversation. But what are your thoughts on my take there that Seattle, like, you have a decade of Russell Wilson, you're kind of underachieving. Green Bay, you have 30 years of Favre and Rodgers, and you have two Super Bowls. I mean, come on.
Vikings fans would give their left, right, and a lot of other essential body parts for one
Thought Super Bowl
championship.
Thought you were going Lance Armstrong last there.
Yeah, me too.
No, I was. I just stopped there. The point is that if you are a Vikings fan and I said, okay, let's just go back 1961. I'm going to give you one Lombardi trophy. You'd be like, oh, okay, I'll take it. So
it's true.
They've still got scoreboard.
It's true. But I'm saying independent of like scoreboard. So that's why I threw it out first and said, I get the scoreboard thing. The Vikings have zero. So let's put that aside.
But the Vikings could have these quarterbacks.
Let's pretend that we are the San Francisco 49ers. Like, we are 49ers daily, and we're evaluating the Seahawks and the Packers,
right? Oh, well,
then
we can laugh at them.
Yep. You should win more Super Bowls when you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback for 10 years.
Does it change if they don't make that mistake on the 2-yard line?
Yeah, it does.
It does change, right?
Because if you have two, then now all of a sudden you're
now
in a different category.
But my God, they've got competent, consistent quarterback play. That's what that's the starting point. That's what we want, right?
Yeah.
Like, consistent every Sunday, if you're a Seahawks fan, you basically wake up and say, Russell Wilson is starting. I got a chance here. And you don't feel, and his offense can be really, really good, or it can be not great, or it can be sort of like, meh. And guess what? You still got a chance. Like, you wake up as a Vikings fan right now, and you basically know what the price of poker with Kirk Cousins is, right? Which is, man, if the conditions are right, if this is a gorgeous 75-degree day and the wind is just coming in from the southwest at this, we're going to win this game. That's how you got to think. So, look, I mean, I envy the fact that everyone in those towns wakes up and thinks, I might see something great today from my quarterback. just because as a sports fan, that must be really, really nice.
Yeah, it is. I would think the peace of mind, and this is what's funny. Oh, and we did promise this yesterday. I got to find this here because we said Packer fans are so spoiled and we haven't been able to do Packer vent line yet this season because they haven't lost yet. And we found the clip. This is Packers radio. This is the Green and Gold postgame show on the Fan in Milwaukee. And I think all across Wisconsin, this is the type of thing that they say about Aaron Rodgers. Mind you, like, this is Aaron Rodgers, like he said on the Pat McAfee show, even during a down year, is like having the best year of most quarterbacks' careers. But this is the type of thing that they say about a guy that is one of the all-time Hall of Fame greats.
Heard him again.
Yeah.
And then also Aaron Rodgers and his obstinance and stubbornness not to throw the damn checkdowns time and again throughout this game cost them the game and cost them the season. $170 million paperweight. No, it's
stop,
not
Bill.
Worth it.
Stop, Bill. Come on, man.
No.
No, come on.
No.
Bill. Come on. I'm going to bring you back.
No.
Like, think about how spoiled you have to be watching NFL football to think that Aaron Rodgers, even in a down year, is a $170 million paperweight.
Can I get
and bring that to
like
a
that?
Vikings fan?
Can I please purchase that paperweight? I'll take that one.
It's amazing. So anyhow,
No, Bill. Don't you do it, Bill.
We'll see if the Vikings can pull off the upset as 7-point underdogs against Seattle on Sunday Night Football.
26 guys on the Seahawks injury report.
24 and 2 load management.
Well, and there's also one for, I believe, veteran rest.
Is there?
I think there was one I saw. Rest. I saw one that said veteran rest, which is not to be confused with the young guys who they're just trying to get off their feet for part of practice.
It's all get rest.
Yeah, exactly right. Veteran rest.
That's a wrap on this episode of Purple Daily. Thanks for subscribing to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Purple Daily Podcast, and also for checking out the all-new ScoreNorth.com, where you can find full audio episodes and also YouTube videos of Purple Daily, Mackie and Judd, and all kinds of other podcasts. See you guys.